Our epistle reading this morning continues our series in 1 Corinthians. We will be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this morning. This is found on page 1786 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. This chapter is often referred to as the love hymn, and many of you will find this to be a familiar passage as we read through it this morning. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. If anyone ever asks you if we have any young families in the church, please make sure to share this fun stat with them. Already in August, we have had 2 weddings in 8 days. For a church of about 100 members, that's a pretty good percentage. It was an exhausting but a fun and exciting 8 days here in the life of this community. As luck would have it, for the preacher, both couples chose the same passage of scripture for their ceremonies. So while I still had 2 meditations to write, I only had 1 scripture passage to study. And we just so happen to be back in that scripture passage again this morning. Now, at first, when I realized I would be preaching on the same passage 3 times within 3 weeks, I thought, this is going to be great. I get to really spend some time tearing into this passage and getting into all the cracks and the corners. But as I picked it back up again this week for yet another message on the 1 Corinthians love hymn, I found myself losing a little bit of steam on this one. Love is patient, love is kind, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's sometimes how we hear words about love. You can find cute little pictures with sayings about love, t-shirts with sayings about love, books about how to find your true love, blah, blah, blah. We've all heard nice words about love before. We've all heard these nice words about love before. And there are nice words about it all around us. Love is associated with fuzzy feelings and pretty flowers and hearts, rather than with difficult, uncomfortable actions. There are a number of popular online videos recently of people doing random acts of kindness, like giving large tips to struggling waitresses, or providing a hotel room or a nice meal for a homeless person. And it feels really warm and fuzzy and loving to watch these videos from the comfort of our own homes and to share them around to other people without ever getting off our couches. We often find ourselves completely baffled by those who act lovingly to people who are forgotten or lonely or who seem distasteful or unlovable. People often argue about how to be the most loving to those struggling with poverty or addiction or severe mental illness while showing little concern and love in the way that they are arguing. But Paul tells us, if I speak in the tongues of men or even of angels, but do not have love, do not show love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. We can talk and we can talk and we can talk. But if all we're doing is telling other people how to love, we're just like this gong. We make an impressive sound, but it fades quickly, and there's nothing left in the air but silence. Love is not easy. Love is not just a fuzzy feeling. Love is not a saying. Love is not meant to be reserved for the people who love us back, or the people who we want to love, or the people who are easy to love. Love isn't just about telling someone, "I love you." Yes, those words are powerful when they are used appropriately, but they are also often abused, misused, taken for granted, or used to control and manipulate other people. These words don't mean anything. All the talk about love doesn't mean anything if there isn't something to back the words up. And I'm not just talking about sending flowers here. Paul doesn't say, love buys chocolate, love sends cards, love never forgets birthdays and anniversaries. Those are great ways to say, I love you, to tell somebody else that you love them. I know I personally will never turn down a good bar of gift chocolate, but those aren't really where we see love in action. They're reminders. They're ways of saying, I love you, but they aren't the full living out of this love that we see laid forth for us in these passages. Anyone can do those things. Those are things that we tend to do for the lovable, too. And as Matthew says, even the people who don't have Jesus in their lives know how to love the lovable people. There's a greater love than love that just loves the lovable. There's a greater love than love that just tells people a lot about love. There's a greater love than that which says, I love you, and leaves it at that. And it's not easy love. The things that Paul is asking us to associate with love are difficult in the best of relationships, let alone when it comes to people who are less than our favorites. These aren't just pretty words. These are hard actions. They're hard to do in the best of circumstances, and we're asked to do them in all circumstances. Patience? I struggle being patient with my own family, let alone the guy in traffic who cut me off. Or worse yet, the guy driving 4 miles per hour ahead of me when I'm already late. Kind? Kindness is great when it comes to my husband or my kids or you all here with me today, but you know, I can usually be kind to all of you. That homeless woman asking for something to eat outside the coffee shop I frequent, that's a different ballgame. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Ouch. How often do we have annoying or angering encounters with strangers in our day-to-day lives and then gripe about them all day to our friends or family or coworkers or post about them all over Facebook? Love moves on and gets over all that drama. But here's the good news, my dear friends. Love never fails. Love is hard, but love is possible. Love outlasts any prophecies, any words, any knowledge. When all those things are long gone and behind us, love is still there. God, who loved us first, promises that one day we'll understand all these things fully. All that other stuff will fall into place. The reason this all sounds strange now is because we just don't have the full picture. We can't possibly understand things fully in our current condition. And it's love that helps us to gain even this partial view of things now. What we see and understand now, especially that regarding love, is sort of like looking in a dirty mirror rather than seeing it face to face. But we can still see it. There's still some understanding that we can have. There is some guidance given to us. We have a model for living loving lives and actions. It's a daunting one to try to live up to, but God knows we're not perfect. We can see only part of things now, but we know and experience at least part of it now. And this is how we do so. We use the love of God as our model. And 1 Corinthians 13 gives us some of the picture of what that love, love modeled after God, unconditional love for everyone, no matter how lovable or unlovable they are, looks like. Love is patient. No matter how long it takes us to realize it, God is always there. Always waiting with open arms to welcome us back. So as a church, let us always be waiting with open arms, patiently for the loved ones that will one day join us here in this sanctuary. Without judgment of why or how long they've been away from the family, or how it is that they came to walk back through these doors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Love is kind. Our Lord Jesus reached down to the downtrodden. He welcomed the eager little children by his side when everyone else said, "Get them out of here, they are a pain." He reached out to the tax collectors, to women, to the lowest of society, to all the people around him with gentle kindness. So as a church, let us always practice kindness. Not just politeness, not just charity, but true gentle kindness to those around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Love does not envy. Never did Jesus get caught up in the race for success or possessions. He didn't care what other people physically had that he did not have. That stuff just gets in the way, he told us. So let us clear our hearts humbly of any envy or unhealthy desire in our lives. For not only can we not best love the people we are envious of when we have envy in our lives, but we can't truly love anyone around us if we allow desire for things we don't have to cloud our minds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Love does not boast. It is not proud. You see, God, the creator of everything we know around us, the holy and incomprehensible God that we worship here today, humbled himself and came to earth as a simple one of us. God didn't come as a king with riches or power. God came as a carpenter from the middle of nowhere. So may we always act in humility and set all pride aside, remembering that even God, who deserves above all to show pride, is humble for the sake of God's people. Lord, in your mercy. Love does not dishonor others. Jesus, when confronted with people who society saw as shameful and worthless, stooped down, offered a hand, and lifted them up. Let us always be aware of the ways in which we should be stooping down, offering a hand, and lifting others up to show them the honor they deserve as one of God's children. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Love is not self-seeking. Jesus humbled himself to death on a cross for us. Jesus gained nothing for himself in his death. So let us model our lives after the selfless love of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Love is not easily angered. Certainly, we see times in the Bible in which God is shown as being angry, but what we see is not an easily angered God. Time after time after time, God's people wander astray. And time after time after time, they are welcomed back as God's children. So let us always remember to practice forgiveness and gentleness before anger, and to never let anger set the tone for our lives and our relationships. In all things, let us work ultimately for peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Now, I know this is a hard one to comprehend for many people, but nowhere, nowhere does God keep a list of all your sins. They have been forgiven. Case closed. You are forgiven no matter what. We do not sit here in this sanctuary to earn back God's love or to cross off or erase the list of sins. We don't sit here as penance for the things we have done wrong. Those things are forgiven and erased already. We sit here out of gratitude for that forgiveness. So let us live as forgiven people, forgiving others as we have been forgiven, and keeping no records or tallies of past wrongs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Because we are forgiven, God doesn't focus on what we do, did, or will do wrong. God sends us the word, the truth, Jesus Christ, So let us delight in the truth that God offers us. May our journey with Jesus Christ not be a simple avoidance of evil, but a rejoicing in him, a celebration of God's love for us and for the truth that we find in Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Love always protects. The Bible says that we are like little baby chicks gathered under the wings of a protective mother hen. No matter what life slings at us, God is there to comfort us, to gather us under those warm, protective wings. Let us, in turn, protect all those around us, upholding the safety and the well-being of our fellow humans. Let us care for all, reach out lovingly to all, protect all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Love always trusts. God's followers are given a great deal of responsibility in the world. All these loving actions that we're talking about are a huge undertaking. God trusts us. God truly trusts us to give us such huge responsibility as Christians. So let us, remembering that God has trusted us with the care of others, in turn trust those around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Love always hopes. In fact, God doesn't only hope. God knows who and what and how each of us are made to be. God sees the best in all of us and waits patiently as we work to figure that out for ourselves. So let us in turn always see the good in others around us. Let us be hopeful because we know that God sees the good in everyone, and we can too, if we wait and we listen patiently. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Love always perseveres. It doesn't matter how long it took or takes you to come around. God is always there. There is no too far gone for God's love. There is nobody who is beyond repair when it comes to God. God continues to pursue us all relentlessly, always. So let us be perseverant in loving others, even when that love seems fruitless. May we always remember to love others where they are and how they are, knowing that they are never too far gone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And love never fails. We do not worship a God on a cross. Our cross is empty. We worship the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, who ultimately triumphs over death and sin. While no one person can ever see the whole story at once, we see only part, like in that mirror. We can read through the accounts of Scripture and get a broader picture. That picture is of Christ triumphing, of love overcoming everything else. So let us always remember that love will not fail, even when we don't see the end result, even when it feels futile or pointless, when it feels like everything else has swallowed love up and rendered it useless. Let us continue to love, knowing that love never fails. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.